a guy who has seen it, done it, and is finally getting his due, going to Canton, going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, getting that yellow jacket on, the great, one of the great wide receivers of all time, Terrell Owens, joins us on our Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans guest line. Terrell, how are you, sir? Jim and Sean here
I'm
in Miami. Good, welcome to the Sports Bosses.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
So, T.O., I guess the first question, you know, 15 seasons, Hall of Famer, you've done it all. Your middle name is El Dorado?
Yeah, you have to talk to my mom about that.
I mean, but that almost is fitting, right? Because it's the gold city. It's utopia. I mean, right from the jump, you were already, you know, destined for greatness.
Well, you know, that's what my mom said. So she always thought I was special. So, you know, I just basically had to just kind of live up to, as you said, those expectations.
And you did, to say the least, 15 seasons, Niners, Eagles, Cowboys, Bills, Bengals. When you look back at your career, you know, and you led the league in touchdown three times, you're the only guy to get 800 yards with five different NFL teams. What's the best, like, one-word description of you as a player?
Different, unique, you know, trendsetter. I mean, I was one of those guys. I never envisioned myself playing beyond the collegiate level, and a lot of hard work and, you know, dedication and discipline. That's what enabled me to do the things that I did on the football field. So I became very coachable, not understanding, you know, what it took to become an elite receiver. Coming out of UT Chattanooga, I was just only drafted third round, 89th pick, you know, off potential. So it was an opportunity that the Niners afforded me, and I basically took advantage of it.
Now, T.O., I got a question for you, because I've never been able to cross the goal line. So dancing has been not the forte, but as you're going across the goal line, are you already thinking of the dance as you're seeing the goal line, or are you thinking of the dance after you cross the goal line?
I mean, sometimes it was premeditated, and some of it was impromptu. So at the end of the day, I felt like, you know, as I went through my career, I understood the entertainment value that we added, you know, to the game. And, you know, obviously a lot of fans, you know, started to really, you know, tune in to see what I was going to do next. So I tried to become an entertainer and a performer.
How much did it mean to you, T.O., to have fun and have that be a big part of your game when you were out there in the field?
It was a big part of it. I mean, I wish I could have probably enjoyed the game more. Like I said, you know, me trying to perfect the craft of becoming an elite receiver, you know, learning under Jerry Rice, learning under Steve Young, learning from Larry Kirksey, who was my first receiver coach in San Francisco, learning from George Stewart, who took over from him, learning from Andy Reid in Philadelphia, learning from David Culley, learning from Ray Sherman with the Dallas Cowboys. These are guys that had coached so many receivers and so much talent. So I just wanted to soak up much as I could and just try to have fun with the game. And so it got to a point that, like, I just wanted to be the best that I could, that, you know, sometimes the fun didn't really resonate with a lot of the fans. But, again, like I said, when I was out on that football field, I tried to entertain as much as I could, understanding that, you know, the fans, I mean, they pay their hard-earned dollars every week to watch not only myself, but the different teams and players play, and I just wanted to put on the show.
Now, show you did during those 15 years, nearly 16,000 receiving yards. And yet, while we have many images of you, you know, the popcorn with the Cowboys, putting the football in the middle of the field at the old Texas Stadium, the image for me growing up on the West Coast, and you have that catch, which against the Packers in the wild card game while you were with the 49ers, which they've dubbed the catch too. And the one thing that struck me is how emotional you were at the end of that. Walk us through that and tell us why that emotion ended up coming out.
Number one, I mean, the game didn't go as well as I envisioned. Again, just to get a taste of the playoffs and And, you know, for me to be an integral part and understand that kind of the rivalry and what really kind of, you know, once you win one playoff game to get to the next and the ultimate goal to win the Super Bowl, you got to win one. And so I didn't particularly have a great game early on in the game, but I just kept sticking with it, and my teammates supported me, and the perseverance, I think, paid off. And so, again, that's one of those things, like when you're part of a team and you know, so many people are counting on you, that's what the raw emotions you saw erupt at the end. Because, again, like I said, at that point, I was probably the GOAT in of the game, not in a good sense. I just realized, like, so many people were counting on me, not only my teammates and the organization, but a lot of the fans, you know, that had witnessed throughout the course of the year how well I had played. And so to play poorly up until that point and then just, you know, to come up with a big catch, again, it's like, you know, Kobe hitting a game-winning shot or Michael Jordan coming up with a clutch shot with the last second. When, you know, everybody in the building possibly knows that, you know, you're going to get the ball. But in my situation, I was sort of like an unsung hero because I had Steve Young and I had Jerry Rice on the football field. So everybody, I'm sure, probably thought that Jerry Rice was going to get that ball. And so, again, it's one of those plays. Again, like I said, I had to come up with it at the most inopportune time.
Now, you were a tough, tough dude. You played in the Super Bowl with a broken leg. I mean, you broke your leg in December, and yet you were in the Super Bowl against the Patriots, Super Bowl 39 for the Eagles. 9 catches, 122 yards. I mean, there was nobody that was going to keep you from playing in that game, I would imagine.
No, that's one of the things that, you know, I think with me, what kind of defines my character in terms of, you know, what I did to put my career on the line. I put my teammates first. I put Philadelphia first. You know, you don't get to the Super Bowl often. And, again, you know, that was the only Super Bowl that I went to. And so I wasn't 100%, but I was in the best shape that I could be in, you know, in order to play in that game. So I vowed to my teammates shortly after I had surgery back in December coming from Baltimore. I did a radio interview, and they asked me if I was going to be able to play. And again, I gave them my word. If they had made it, if they make it to the playoffs, then I'll be ready for the Super Bowl. So I did everything that I could, you know, rehab wise, to make that happen.
Tio, in the NFL right now, who are some of your top receivers that you see in the league right now?
Number one would probably be Antonio Brown. And then obviously I think that, you know, everybody realizes what Julio Jones and Odell Beckham Jr. can do. I think when you think about the longevity, the consistency, Antonio Brown obviously comes to mind. When you think about talent, all three has the talent. Julio Jones, I think, you know, what's keeping him out of the conversation as the number one is just the injuries that he's had, you know, the last probably 3 to 4 years. And so if it wasn't for that, then those guys would be right there at the top.
Now, is there anybody that you look at and go, that reminds me of myself?
Not too many. Again, I think, you know, the longevity of my career, you know, I played 15 years, and I think that's what enabled me to do a lot of the things that I did. And you think about the physicalness. You know, some of those guys possess, a lot of those guys possess that, but it's that run after catch, making the untimely plays. Everybody that I just mentioned, they make those plays, but again, I was sort of like, in some people's eyes and minds, somewhat of a trendsetter. It's one of those big bodies able, you know, to just, you know, able to be able to play, run every route on the route tree, being able to take the hit and keep moving. And so, you know, you think of the big bodies, you think of the Julio Joneses, somewhat the guys like Odell Beckham Jr. But, again, I feel like I was a little bit different for whatever reason, just that passion and aggression that, you know, anywhere on the field, at any time on the field, you know, I can make something happen.
Talking to Terrell Owens, Pro Football Hall of Fame class 2018. Has that sunk in yet, man? Have you thought about that August night in Canton, what you're going to be doing, what you're going to be saying? Has it hit you?
No, not yet. I mean, the thing is for me, I know I probably still could have been playing, should have been playing. You know, and so again, I think if I would have played, you know, at least 2-3 more years, I still would have probably been inducted around this time. Anyway, so again, just to, you know, for everybody to see the shape that I'm in now, I feel like, you know, I wasn't able to leave the game on my own terms. I felt like it was incomplete. So again, right now it hasn't sunk in, cause I still feel young at heart, you know, understanding there's no doubt that I could probably still play today. So other than that, like I said, this will be a moment not only for my fans and the teams and the organizations that I played for, but this will be a special moment for my family.
If someone called you today and said, T.O., this is GM blank, come on down, I need you, would you do it?
Oh, yeah, I'd be ready. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, I think anybody that knows me, well, I know myself better than anybody else. So I've done it throughout the course of my career when people, you know, doubted me and didn't think whatever. And so, again, well into my, you know, late 30s, people felt like, you know, the skills of a receiver is supposed to decline. And I was steadily improving. I was sort of like I was doing what LeBron James is doing right now. It's you know, eye-popping at what he's doing in his 15th season. So, again, the same thing that he's doing, I was doing later on in my career. All you got to do is just look up the stats.
No, phenomenal, man. Harder to do, dancing with the stars or playing in the Super Bowl with a broken leg?
Oh, dancing with the stars for sure. definitely, it's not like I have two left feet, but just the amount of work and really just dedication and the repetition of those dance moves, not really having zero dance experience. It was very, very hard. But Cheryl Burke, I mean, she did an amazing job getting me ready every week. Definitely, I mean, when you think about the hours that we put in, literally 5-6 hours a day on our feet, literally every hour, it's a lot of demand on the body.
Terrell Owens, 6-time Pro Bowler, philanthropist, Hall of Famer. Go to TerrellOwens.com for more information. T.O., thank you for taking the time. I know you're a busy guy. Wishing you all the best. And, damn, I wish you were still out there playing, man.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
All right. That's Terrell Owens, brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently, man.